Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The new film, The End of the Tour, opens today in New York and Los Angeles. It tells the story of a road trip the late David Foster Wallace took with a young reporter in 1996. At the time, Wallace was riding a wave of fame as arguably the most popular writer on the planet after publishing his massive novel, Infinite Jest. The new film stars Jason Segel as David Foster Wallace and Jesse Eisenberg as the young reporter.
When I think of this trip, I see David and me in the front seat of his car. He wants something better than he has. I want precisely what he has already.
David.
Wallace,
welcome to Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm David Lewis.
Oh,
how are you?
Hi, okay, David and David.
We only just met. He's writing a piece on the tour.
What's this story about in your mind?
Just what it's like to be the most talked about writer in the country, that sort of thing.
You're like a nervous guy, huh?
No. I'm okay. How are you?
Because I'm terrified.
I gotta ask, what is with the bandana?
I know that it's a security blanket for me whenever I'm kind of afraid my head is gonna explode.
If we ate like this all the time, what would be wrong with that?
It's like good seductive commercial entertainment, like Die Hard.
First Die Hard? Great film.
Yes. No, it's a brilliant
the
film.
The best.
Jason Segel as David Foster Wallace, ending that trailer there for the new film, The End of the Tour. The tour was the final leg of Wallace's book tour for Infinite Jest in 1996. The reporter with him was Rolling Stone's David Lipsky, who went to Wallace's hometown of Bloomington, Illinois, to join him for that last leg and write a profile. The profile was never published, but after Wallace killed himself in 2008, David Lipsky went back to his tapes and transcripts from that week he spent with the writer and put that material into a book called Although, Of Course, You End Up Becoming Yourself, A Road Trip with David Foster Wallace, and that inspired the new film. We spoke with David Lipsky in 2010 and started by asking him to put the trip into context. It was 1996. David Foster Wallace was a rock star. Besides Infinite Jest, there were essays like A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again about going on a cruise ship for Harper's Magazine and just knocked people out. And we asked David why. What was the reaction?
I think they reacted the way people reacted in the 50s when they first read Salinger. It was kind of when you opened up a magazine to read one of his essays, instead of finding words, it was like finding a kind of mirror. I remember that at the time that Infinite Jest came out, I was at a party and a woman sat down next to me and looked at all the aspiring and successful writers in the room and said, every relationship in this room is being ruined by David Foster Wallace. Because when he's in the paper, the women are like, ah, David Foster Wallace is so cute. And the guys are like, I want to be David Foster Wallace. So it was just this incredible joy about a new writer. And then this, here's this guy who's done what everyone wanted to do.
And what is that? Can you try to put your finger on it? You know, the cruise ship piece, people faxing it to each other, reading it out loud over the phone. It told of, you know, it's simple concept. He's taking a trip on a luxury cruise. What was it about his writing?
What David talks about in his work is that writing is the thing that allows us to not feel lonely. He's able to kind of capture your brain voice. Do you know the way your brain, you'll be thinking about what you're seeing, you'll be thinking about a movie line you liked, you'll be thinking about something you want to say to somebody else, and there are all those thoughts going at once. When he writes, he gets all that out in a very clean, very clear, very funny way, and suddenly you know what the sound of your own brain is, and that's a thrilling thing. There's no other writing like it.
For instance, he'd make an observation about the way people smile at you when they don't really mean it, and 3 pages later, he'd gone through 10 footnotes about, you know, phony smiles, and then, but you really want the smile. Why aren't they smiling at me? And it just...
Yeah, and then he ends with, what a damn mess.
All right. Infinite Jest. You want to try? You take a shot at what this huge book was about?
Sure. Infinite Jest is about everything, but it really is about how the world feels now. I mean, there are great stories about people in 12-step programs and people at a tennis academy. But the real thing it's about and why it was thrilling is it's about how it feels to live at a time when you're transacting a huge amount of your life through electronic data, when you're transacting a great deal of your connections with other people through electronic screens. It's about what it feels like to be alive now.
Yeah.
Again, there's no other book like it.
And here you are. Rolling Stone assigns you to do a profile on him. You spend 4 or 5 days with him. This was at the end of his book tour for Infinite Jest. You play chess. You get iced in at an airport. You sleep in his spare room. What did he say to you? His spare blanket is your spare blanket. You watch him with his dogs that he loves. You eat with him at Denny's and McDonald's. You record all this. So when you go back to listen to it, and you also wrote a profile in Rolling Stone in 2008, Who did you hear? Who'd you find?
His writing is as funny and charming as alive as any writing I've ever read. In person, he was like that, too. He was just completely shockingly awake. Like, when we checked into the hotel in Minneapolis, the woman at the desk said to me, you know, and your room has two twins. And David said, yes, Anita and Consuela. We walked into a Denny's, and I was surprised there was a smoking section. And David said, yes, there's even a chain-smoking section at Denny's. I remember we were at Mall of America, and we were looking around. It was he was a really funny person to be at Mall of America with, because he was looking at the store names. And he looked across, and there was a restaurant called Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania. And he said, when I think pasta, I think Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry, I blew the line.
That's yeah. Great. Was that the line? Okay. I mean,
yeah, that's the line. Just a brilliant, brilliant mind, incredibly fast and incredibly funny and cheerful. Just because if you can take in all that information, somehow it's going to make you cheerful, I think, too. And that is what I want to capture in the book.
But there's also a whole stretch. You're both exhausted from the tour, and he just seems to spill his guts. He tells you about how in an earlier book that he'd written, I think it was his second, when it tanked, he became suicidal. How, you know, he talked about when he was at Harvard and went into McLean's psychiatric hospital. In essence, what we're hearing there is, you know, Infinite Jest might not have been written. As sad as the real ending is, it was almost sadder.
To me, the amazing thing about him going into McLean in 1989 is that within a year or two of that, he has himself stable. He begins working on the novel in 1992, and he's done by 95. And to me, part of what's really very inspiring about having gotten to live this time with him again is remembering just what an amazing feat that is to bring off, to have thought, you know, he said at the time after he had gone into McLean that he thought his life was over, he thought he was done. And then 6 years later to write what is the best novel by anyone of his generation. It's just an amazing thing. It shows just how strong he was, too.
In looking back and listening back, you know, in these beginnings of a story, did you see the end? Is there a point where you said, oh, I wish I'd done this or done that? Or no, because, you know, he's so open about his depression. It's not as if this was a secret.
David had kept secret that he was on antidepressants, which came out after his death. Towards the end of his life, David tried to switch medications at the advice of some of his doctors, and it was a bad drug reaction that really led to his suicide. It wasn't the pressure of being a writer, and it wasn't the pressure of his senses that drove him to take his own life. It was, in many ways, very clearly just a medical reaction. If you had asked me in August of 2008 who the most healthy American writer is, I would have said without hesitation, David Foster Wallace.
In fact, we have a passage from your conversations. Remember, this is a 14-year-old cassette tape. It's towards the end of the time you spent together, these several days. Let's listen.
If you can think of times in your life that you've treated people with extraordinary decency and love and pure, uninterested concern just because they were valuable as human beings, the ability to do that with ourselves, to treat ourselves the way we would treat a really good, precious friend, or a tiny child of ours that we absolutely love more than life itself. And I think it's probably possible to achieve that. I think part of the job we're here for is to learn how to do it.
David, what do you take from that?
That's the voice of somebody who was extremely intelligent and extremely warm, trying to decide, trying to pick a way to live. I mean, it really brings me back to being there in his little house in Bloomington. But it's also part of what makes him so special as a writer, is that not only is he seeing life clearly, he kind of gives readers, he gives me as a reader, a sense of ways I might try to live, too.
Well, David Lipsky, before we let you go, just tell us something else that David Foster Wallace told you about writing.
I mean, he had a really clear idea of what writing was supposed to be. He said that he liked writing that worked on your nerve endings, and he said that with real writing, there was a kind of stomach magic. He said that it's so much fun to read, I'd rather read right now than eat.
Yeah.
He was talking, it was very funny, he saw kind of what makes some people uncomfortable now about things like Facebook or about Twitter or about IMing and texting each other. He said that technology would get better and better at doing what it does, which is leaving us alone in front of screens, and that we were going to have to invent some machinery inside our guts to help us deal with that. I think of that every day because I haven't, and most people I know haven't quite done that gut-building machinery. You know, we haven't done that gut-building work yet.
That's David Lipsky. We spoke in 2010 about his book, Although, Of Course, You End Up Becoming Yourself, A Road Trip with David Foster Wallace. It inspired the new film, The End of the Tour, which opens in some cities today.